This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, Chris O'Brien is kind of, sort of, on special assignment. He has a doctor's appointment. He's still kind of navigating that problem with his lungs, and I hope things get better. But he still has to go through treatment for that. Maybe he needs a better doctor. I'm urging him to check for one of the places in Phoenix and see if they can deal with pulmonary issues. But what do I know about things like that, after all?
Yeah, Chris seems to have been having chest problems for quite a while now. So, you know, maybe it is time for a second or third opinion.
Right, well, you know, I'm not going to ask anybody who listens to the show to render a medical opinion. That's not even ethical. But we're always open to ideas. Open to ideas. In any case, so Gogs MacKay is going to be our guest co-host this week. And Gogs, you have been otherwise occupied in recent months. What have you been up to?
Oh, just work, flying a drone. I got myself a drone. And traveling within the UK. I was down in Edinburgh today, just for the day, doing a bit of work, training. Oh, there's something I wanted to bring up. There's, I know I've private messaged you about this, but on the 8th of July in Falkirk in Scotland, there's the Scottish UFO and Paranormal Conference, and myself and a couple of other Paracast listeners from the UK are going to be meeting up and going to this conference. We would absolutely love to meet anyone else who hasn't already specified an interest. But as I said, so Saturday, 8th of July, tickets are £10. And we'd love to see anyone that listens to the show. And so we kind of hit on this idea because we just wanted to do something as an excuse to meet up, because, you know, I don't know any other Paracast listeners in my kind of circle of friends or whatever. I've got one friend that's kind of like half a listener, really. He occasionally listens.
Half a listener. We have to deal with that. We cannot allow half listeners. Sometimes these are the people who post messages on iTunes saying we run 500 The Paracast announcements every episode. We have 2,000 commercials. And as a matter of fact, one of the wackiest reviews we've gotten at iTunes, and I realize most people are just sincere. Most people are sincere, and they do make an effort to provide whatever input they want, like us or hate us or otherwise. But sometimes ahead of the show, GCN runs commercials for a paranormal dating service. I know nothing about that service. So what happens here is we are blamed for it. Whatever ads are run before or after the Paracast or during the Paracast by our network, that's our responsibility. No, folks, it's not. Okay? It's not a responsibility. We have our own little allotment of ads that we run, and most of you recognize which ads come from us. The rest is up to the network to sell the ads, to decide what advertisers to accept. And if you have a question about it, let us know. We'll tell the network. Simple as that. I remember early on when we first joined the GCN network, we had listeners giving reviews of the ads because they had a lot of survivalism ads, you know, buy food in case of Armageddon approaches, that sort of thing. And again, look, if the company is legitimate and they're selling a product or service, and if you don't want it, don't listen to it. And if you do, give them a try. That's what we say. Simple as that. Does that make sense? Anyway, I want to ask you a couple of things here, Gogs. We've been running a few shows lately with kind of a unified field theory of UFOs, where UFOs, ghosts, Bigfoot, all related to the same phenomena, a lot of it having to do with the multiverse. And we throw in quantum mechanics because it sounds cool. What's your perception?
Well, you know, the longer I'm interested in these kind of subjects, I think I would have to agree. I am most definitely as much for a unified paranormal force intelligence. You know, I'll put that on an even footing as being behind UFOs, as much as ETH and nuts and bolts, if not more. So just to explain, maybe there are nuts and bolts craft, maybe there are, you know, whatever, aliens or interdimensional travelers or stuff, but it seems to me that there are more and more reasons to think that it can't be that simple. And some of the great thinkers in ufology also seem to go through a period of, yeah, the ETH, nuts and bolts, and then they kind of think, but yeah, that really doesn't explain a lot of the associated high strangeness and just some of the glaring facts about UFOs, abductions and contact experiences, like why this ridiculous variety of craft, shapes, sizes, travel patterns, appearances, where do they appear, how long for, what do they do when they land on the ground, why do all the beings kind of either look like Nordics or supposedly reptilians or praying mantis or greys, why are the greys, you get tall ones, short ones, ones with wraparound eyes, ones with kind of more human features, ones with noses, ones with that. It's just almost ridiculous, the variety, and it could not be explained simply by, you know, different races of greys or whatever, and they're all very anthropomorphic. So, to me, it makes much more sense that whatever is behind it all, some trickster, paranormal force, I don't know, but they're just appearing in a guise that is supposed to look advanced to us, to look kind of, oh, whoa, what's that? And because they're like making it up as they go along, if you like, on each encounter, they kind of think, yeah, let's do the kind of grey thing today, or let's do the whatever. And that might account for why these things don't seem to be quite the same every time, but they're wrong. It would be like the equivalent of myself or a completely different person maybe putting on a gorilla suit trying to impersonate Bigfoot. We're going for the same aim, but the actual effect might look quite different enough to think, they're not quite the same. And if you had 100 different people in 100 different places all trying to impersonate Bigfoot, you would get all these differences. And it wouldn't make sense if your audience were supposed to believe that these are a real creature and, you know, they have a real backstory, if you like. But if they were to think maybe it's people masquerading as these things called Bigfoot, and that's why their own individual efforts kind of turn out a little bit different each time. And same with the crafts. I start to think that, you know, it's maybe when they blink out of existence, maybe that's not them just accelerating so quickly. It looks like that. You know, maybe they are literally created to order. You know, we're going to appear on Earth in front of some human beings who have maybe been sending out telepathic vibes, or they're calling us, or we are interested in them for some reason. They think, right, let's do a UFO craft. And it can almost be different every time they do it, or maybe they intend for it to be similar, but they can't quite remember what they did last time. Maybe they don't care. Maybe it's all completely deliberate that are these variations, and it is completely designed just to be an impenetrable mystery. I mean, that is one way that would explain everything, is if it was deliberately sent to confound us. Every aspect of it, it would make sense.
Well, it'll make sense more as we explore this further. Before we confound you, let me tell you, we have Robert Spearing, who specializes in orange orbs and other strange phenomena. And he's coming up on the Paracast today, so we'll get to him in just a moment. Chris O'Brien's on special assignment, more or less. So we're talking to our guest host, Cox Mackay, catching up with him. More to come with Gene and with Gox. You're in
the Orange Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo Tote Bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1, stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything, your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2, call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-945-1063. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-945-1063. Step 3, congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-945-1063. That's 1-800-945-1063.
Be prepared for the next disaster with the Shelter Pod. The Shelter Pod is a large, all-season, heavy-duty, quick-deploy shelter. The Shelter Pod system can be set up in 30 seconds and includes an emergency medical kit, water filter, survival tools, and more. Are you prepared to take care of your family? Do you have everything in one place ready to go? Get it now or enter to win a complete Shelter Pod system at ShelterPod.com. The Shelter Pod at ShelterPod.com. Shelter when you need it most.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We welcome to the Paracast Robert Spearing. And he has a lot of fascinating stuff that he's been exploring over the years, and we'll get to that in a moment. Do want to send a thank you to Erica Lukes, who recommended Robert to come on the show. Thank you, Erica. Erica, as you know, appears occasionally on the Paracast and sometimes as a guest co-host. But this week, as I mentioned before, we have Gogs Mackay, direct from his caverns in which he lives in the north of Scotland. That doesn't make any sense either, does it, Goggs?
No, yeah, I'm down in a deep bunker. It's connected by one of these magnetic trains to the Grailian bunker over in North Carolina. We're thinking of adding Phoenix to it, so we might get a stop in your basement soon, Gene.
I don't have a basement. A lot of homes in Arizona do not have basements. I think we're afraid of what we might find down there.
Spiders.
Well, if it was only spiders, we'd be lucky. I want you to know, by the way, Robert, that Goggs was not the person who taught actor James Doohan how to imitate Scotty. So, Robert, welcome to the PowerCast. We're glad to have you aboard. And I want to get started on the things that got you interested in UFOs. Was it just reading about it? Was it a personal experience? What?
Well, in 1986, I had a personal experience, but to backtrack a little bit, in 1964, when I was 6 years old, 1965, my uncle came in the house one day after the big blackout that blacked out the whole northeastern United States, and he said to me, UFOs did it. And then he started telling me about swamp gas, and he started telling me about football-shaped UFOs over swamps, and I got hooked. In 1986, I had my one and only UFO sighting, and it was an orange orb sighting. I was camping in a very remote part of New Jersey, Round Valley Reservoir, huge lake surrounded by dense forest. I was sitting on the beach on a canoe about 2 o'clock in the morning, heavy rain, very low cloud cover, covering the tops of the mountains, and a friend of mine and I saw this pink light coming over the lake. It was so quiet you could hear a pin drop, but we heard nothing from this. We didn't know what it was. We knew it wasn't a helicopter or an airplane, and we watched it for about 40 minutes just hover over the lake. All of a sudden, it just did a set of incredible maneuvers, like an upside-down question mark with stops and starts, and then it froze for a second and then shot off across the horizon so fast that it left a streak. Years later, I went back and calculated how fast it could have been going from the time it shot to where we lost it on the horizon. It had to be going over 15,000 miles per hour from zero. Needless to say, I had never heard of orange orbs at that point, but I knew it wasn't some sort of Chinese lantern or helium balloon or drone, because drones were not in fashion back in 1986. About 5 years ago, I got involved with MUFON. I became a field investigator in New Jersey, and gradually I worked my way into international cases because they had a shortage. What happened was MUFON became so popular from the TV show Hangar One that we began to get inundated with reports from all over the world rather than just the United States, and we had a shortage of people. So my job basically is to train field investigators in other countries. Right now I'm the national director of India and Spain, and I'm also on the MUFON special assignment team, which is the upper echelon of field investigators. We investigate the really unusual cases. I do historical cases like 1957 Texas Pantex nuclear plant case, and pretty much that's where I am now. I had an investigative background on the railroad and a statistical background. Nobody comes into ufology from college, so you've got to come from some sort of background that's probably investigative or scientific to become a field investigator. I did a lot of statistical analysis, and as a result, now when I analyze cases, I use a statistical approach looking for patterns between certain cases in distance and time, and that's pretty much where I'm at right now.
Bob, Goggs here. Are you familiar with the Allagash case?
It was a long time ago. I'm not that familiar with it, no.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, overly sure on all the details, but I'm sure it's up in the northeast of the United States also. But what you were telling there about being on a canoe at night, you know, in the middle of nowhere, is very, very reminiscent of the Allagash case. Now, I believe there was three or four guys there camping and fishing, you know, from small boats. I don't think it was an orange orb. I believe it was maybe more a classic craft, saucer shape, but I'm not sure. But in their case, it wasn't until later on that they started to find out, maybe through hypnotic regression, partly through conscious recall, but I believe that they eventually found out that, well, they believe they may have been abducted. Do you think there was any missing time in your case?
No, you're not the first person who's asked me that. I do not believe I had any missing time. I know that in some orb cases, people do have missing time, but I do not have flashbacks or any sort of dreams. I do not believe that I have any sort of implants within me. So, no, I don't think that happened to me.
Do you think orange orbs are just maybe illuminated solid craft, or do you think they're like very separate from a nuts and bolts UFO?
I'm starting to veer towards that there's some sort of plasmatic life form that is intelligent. I don't think that they're nuts and bolts craft. They do act intelligently. And I believe that it's just not one phenomenon, but there may be several related phenomena that fall under what we're studying right now. For example, ball lightning is a form of plasma. And ball lightning is unusual in that when people approach it, it backs away, or it approaches people. It shows some sort of basic intelligence. A lot of the other cases we've had, some of them were very bizarre. One in Saladere, Ethiopia in 1970, where an orange orb actually went through the town, destroyed several buildings, turned around, came back, and ripped up the road before it disappeared after killing a girl. So they do have behaviors. I do not think, though, that at this point they're nuts and bolts craft. However, especially during the 1950s and 60s, a lot of people did see red objects in the sky that did turn out to be glowing metal from the bottoms of nuts and bolts craft. So we have to differentiate sometimes between what's an orb and what's a nuts and bolts craft, because sometimes they do look similar.
I'm going to want to ask you, and we'll pursue this more in our next segment, Robert, about this intelligence or basic intelligence aspect of the orange orbs, where they sort of respond. Now, and why we will possibly at times tend to mix them up with UFOs, or if there is a possibility, and this is like almost a three-part question, that UFOs, at least some UFOs, are not spacecraft or manifestations of the collective unconscious or whatever, but life forms like the late Trevor James Constable had advocated over the years. We've got more to come with Robert Spearing and Gene and Goggs. You're in
the podcast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Be prepared for the next disaster with the Shelter Pod. The Shelter Pod is a large, all-season, heavy-duty, quick-deploy shelter. The Shelter Pod system can be set up in 30 seconds and includes an emergency medical kit, water filter, survival tools, and more. Are you prepared to take care of your family? Do you have everything in one place ready to go? Get it now or enter to win a complete Shelter Pod system at ShelterPod.com. The Shelter Pod at ShelterPod.com. Shelter when you need it most.
Do you know what's lurking in your water? More than 200 contaminants could be sitting there, just waiting for your glass. With a ProPure water filter, start enjoying clean and great-tasting water today. ProPure filters, independently tested, latest water filter technology. ProPure systems do not require electricity and are easy to set up and easy to use. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation
rehabilitation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hey, diabetics. Yeah, you. Got a spare hour to waste going to the pharmacy to get your insulin or other meds and supplies every month? I didn't think so. Me either. I've got life going on, which is why I use PillPack. PillPack is an amazing online pharmacy. They package up all my diabetic meds and testing supplies into daily doses and send it to me every month, automatically. All I do is pay my normal copay. PillPack does the rest. I'm serious. This is a free service. They don't even charge for shipping. PillPack handles all the medical insurance stuff and even get with my doctors for my other prescriptions so I don't have to, which is good because that's the stuff I forget. But PillPack remembers everything. They even package up my daily vitamins so I remember to take them too. If you're diabetic, your meds and supplies are life and death, which means you need PillPack. Call right now for this free service. You may even qualify for $25 in free vitamins. 800-560-7310. That's 800-560-7310. Again, 800-560-7310.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a four-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
The best way to support the Paracast, ladies and gentlemen, is the Paracast Plus. With the Paracast Plus, we offer the After the Paracast podcast, which is color commentary, after show wrap-ups, special interviews. Recently, we had extended interviews with such people as Ray Stanford, continuing on After the Paracast, and Paul Eno. So if you heard the main show and you didn't hear After the Paracast, you missed part of what was being offered there. And the only way to hear After the Paracast and also to get a version of this show without commercials, you subscribe to the Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com. If you subscribe to 5 years or a lifetime, we give you freebies. Like, for example, we have several copies here of Behind the Paranormal by Paul Eno and Ben Eno, autographed print version, 5 years or lifetime. And for lifetime subscriptions, we add other books. To learn more, go to plus, plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com. With Robert Spearing, I asked him a three-part question about life, about the orange orbs, and about whether some UFOs are themselves life forms, as Trevor James Constable once said. What's your response?
I have both of Trevor's books. His feeling was that they were some sort of amoeba-like life form floating in the sky that has not been discovered yet. He called it an atmospheric sea, where these living life forms may be floating around in a sea of air, mindless or with just a basic rudimentary intelligence. I do not take that off the table. There are plenty of cases where we've filmed objects floating in and out of clouds, such as chemtrails and as such, and that there's a conspiracy theory about the chemtrails that they may be either seeding these beings or actually trying to destroy them. I don't know. I've never investigated that avenue. But the current theory is that they may be more plasma-based entities. The main problem with plasma is that it's an ionized gas, and an ionized gas needs to be contained because it's not in its natural state. It would want to revert back to giving its electrons back to the molecule. But you need something to either hold it in place, or you need some sort of mechanism within the object itself to make it cohesive. There's nothing that can do this right now that we know in science, so we're sort of mystified how these balls of plasma can stay together. They have behaviors. They know how to reproduce. If you have them in a scientist have put them, created them in microwave fields, and they have lasted as long as the microwave field was intact. And ironically, since 1964, the majority of UFO cases in the world are orbs. And this coincides with the amount of microwave antennas being put all over the globe, too, that there's more and more, and there may be some sort of connection to it. But these things can stay in place indefinitely. They're not Chinese lanterns. They're not helium balloons. They're actual three-dimensional objects that people see and film. They have an enormous number of behaviors. They zigzag, make right-angle turns. They blink out, blink back on. They come close to people, and when people try to talk to them telepathically and say, move to the right, the orb will move to the right. So there's something going on that suggests it's more than just a mindless ball of plasma.
At least they're more obedient than my dog. Gogs?
Bob, this kind of sounds to me like you're maybe going in the direction of this isn't some intelligence that is controlling plasma energy to travel in. This is kind of like the object and the intelligence are all one. Is that I'm getting you right?
Yes, but it gets more complicated than that, because throughout history, orbs have been seen in conjunction with other UFOs. So if they're just some sort of native, undiscovered type of life form that's native to Earth, why are they associated with so many nuts and bolts UFO sightings? There's a definite connection. In 2009, in Scotland, black triangle flying across Scotland, trailed by two balls which kept switching positions behind it. In South Africa in 2014, there was a huge disc that flew right over the guy's head, and he watched two orange balls detach from it. If you go all the way back to Nuremberg in 1561, the great aerial battle with the cylinders and the crosses and the orbs in the sky, the orbs are seen coming out of cylinders. In the 1960s in Massachusetts, you have cylinders over a lake releasing orbs. In France in 1954, I believe it was, you have a cylinder escorted by two orbs shooting electrical impulses between each other. So there's a large amount of literature to suggest that these orbs, if they are some sort of life form, may be controlled by other life forms.
If I'm remembering right, there's some great footage from Mexico, probably above Mexico City specifically, in where there seems to be these kind of long balloon type thing that almost looks like it's giving birth to multiple orbs.
I've seen that, yes.
Now, I don't specifically remember the color, and how important is the distinction that we're talking about orange orbs as opposed to any other color?
Well, this is what I'm working on now for MUFON. MUFON instituted something called Project Orange, and it fell on my lab and Erica Luke's, who subsequently isn't involved with it anymore, to try to statistically analyze orbs, okay? So what Project Orange is trying to do is quantify the behaviors and such. So we analyzed 489 cases to date in 48 states for 7 4th of July periods because July 4th is the heaviest orb sighting day of the year. So we tried to get a week of data, and we're almost done. But of the 489 cases we've done so far, we correlated what's the colors of these orbs in various MUFON reports. And 40% total are orange, followed by 35% red, yellow next, and blue, then green, then violet. Violet's less than 1%. So the majority of orb cases seem to be orange, and that's why we take an interest in it. We're trying right now to get somebody to do a spectrographic analysis of an orb, if they can capture it on film. There's an app called SpectraSnap, which is by the American Physical Association, a group of physicists, where you can actually turn your iPhone into a spectrograph. And our theory is that these objects, these plasmas, may possibly be made out of strontium, which is a glowing red radioactive metal, or they may be phosphorus. As you know,
is this a bit like how you get sodium vapor lamps? You know, certain elements would excite.
Yes, that's how you get different colors. Certain elements give different colors. So we believe that the color of the orb may be based on what it's actually made out of. And, yes. 40% are orange. That's why we call them orange orbs. That's the most prevalent color.
Yeah, and I suppose I'm also thinking that, you know, in terms of giving off visible light, things can be red hot and white hot. So it's like almost like an associated level of energy to do with the color. I suppose it can be looked at from a couple of angles. There may be a very specific reason why there's this band of 40% because of, you know, whatever, how this thing travels and the amount of energy it's giving out or whatever, or leaking or...
Well, yes, in the 1950s, especially, a lot of UFO reports, they noticed that as the UFO changed color, it would either slow down or accelerate. So they believed that color had something to do with the propulsion system.
Let's break it here, guys.
Sure.
We're going to explore some of those indicators about UFO propulsion systems, orange orbs, living UFOs, and a few other things, more than a few other things. Robert Spearing joining Gene and Goggs. You're in
the podcast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Neighbors, I want to tell you about my favorite graphics app. It's the award-winning Graphic Converter. You know, Graphic Converter is the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features, and most important, it's easy to use. It's also far less expensive than that other app that you can only get by subscription. You know, the one I'm talking about. What's more, you can get 20% off with your order right now. So write this down to learn about Graphic Converter. Go to www.lemkesoft.de/gene. Let me spell that. www.lemkesoft.de/gene.
Being self-reliant is about being prepared and to do what you need to have your own source of renewable energy. Portable Solar LLC offers the most powerful EMP-hardened solar system on the market that is transportable from place to place, and the best part, it's very affordable. Contact them at PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875. Sol Arc EMP-hardened solar generator, energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today or go to PortableSolarLLC.com to check out their patent-pending technology.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. Blockitpocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at Blockitpocket.com or call 888-315-9618. Blockitpocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
You may own a knife, but if it's not an Indie hammered knife, it's not a knife. From the forge to the grinder to the sheath, each Indie hammered knife is handcrafted using God-given talent. The result is the sharpest edge a knife can have and a true work of art. See a variety of knives and the complete knife kit at ihknives.com. Indie hammered knives. Custom knives made in America.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So Chris O'Brien is off this week. Gogs McKay is our guest co-host. We've got Robert Spearing, MUFON field investigator, and I guess we'll call you the expert on orange orbs. You were telling us about cases in the 1950s where the color of the UFO depended on whether it was slowing down or changing its flight pattern?
Right, right. Those were nuts and bolts craft. They definitely found a correlation between the colors and the speed of the craft. This was when the Air Force was investigating, prior to Project Blue Book, Project Sign. They were sending memos between the chief of the Air Force and Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, trying to delineate the different types of UFOs. And among them were amorphous balls of light. And the colors suggested that the more red that it was, the closer it was to infrared. Ivan T. Sanderson believed that before a UFO would blink out, it would turn red because it was going into the infrared range, and that's why it became invisible to humans. We call that blinking out. So when they come into existence, and John Keel felt the same way about this, they come in from the purple part of the spectrum, the ultraviolet spectrum, into visible light.
Now, Bob, earlier on, I kind of quickly touched on this, one of these cases in Mexico where you seem to have one larger object giving birth to smaller ones. Now, have you seen these orange orbs, any kind of similar phenomenon?
Yes, many times. Like I said earlier, if you go back to Nuremberg in 1561, you have the orbs coming out of the cylinders in that aerial battle. In Massachusetts, you have cylinders releasing glowing balls. In France, you have the balls at the orbs escorting a cylinder. And what's also interesting about the orb-cylinder connection is that in all of these stories or accounts, or the woodcut from 1561 by Hans Glaser, the cylinder is always at a 45-degree angle. So we believe that it has something to do with the operation of the release mechanism that allows these orange orbs to be released from cylinders. And lately, we've been getting reports of orange orbs associated with black triangles. As cylinder sightings decrease and decrease greatly in the 21st century, the amount of black triangle sightings is increasing, as is the number of sightings in conjunction with orange orbs trailing or being attached to the back of the black triangles.
Do we have any reason to believe that the military or the Air Force, whatever, the military-industrial complex, have any interest specifically in the orange orb phenomenon?
Well, yes. I'm really glad you asked that question because we noticed something over the past 14 months. If you go to my website, and I'll give you details later, I have an article on it about helicopters chasing orbs. Over the past 14 months, MUFON has gotten an inordinate amount of reports of people witnessing low-flying, blacked-out helicopters chasing small red lights just over the roofs of neighborhoods. These aren't quiet Apache helicopters. These are loud Sikorsky-type military helicopters, and they seem to be flying in a blacked-out way without any sort of navigation or anti-collision lights, flying dangerously low, making people's windows rattle. And so we don't know if these helicopters are escorting these orbs or if they're chasing them, trying to figure out what they are. But I spoke with an Apache helicopter pilot who was stationed out of McGuire Air Force Base in New Jersey, and he said that it's suicide for helicopters to fly in the fashion that they're flying. They wear night vision goggles all the time when they fly at night, and they only have a split second to react when they see something. So if they're flying low, like over a roof or by a telephone pole or some sort of microwave tower, the chances of them getting into an accident are crazy. So you have to ask yourself, what is so important about chasing a little ball of red light that these blacked-out helicopters would fly such dangerous patterns?
Yeah, I believe there's a really good, well-documented case in which I think it was a police helicopter was following maybe orange, maybe green orb, and I believe it may even have been included in one of the Hangar 1 episodes. Am I remembering this right?
Yes, you are. I remember seeing the video of that on one of the TV shows, yes. And they never came out and told you what it was that they saw, that they were flying next to.
No, I think you're right there, yeah. Gene?
I just want to get into more of this and get the separations. So we have the orange orbs, and we've got the nuts and bolts craft. And I want to spend a little time with nuts and bolts here. So nuts and bolts, by your definition, Robert, these would be physical spacecraft from somewhere.
Right. Discs, cylinders, triangles, that type of thing. Where are they from is a good question. Are they extraterrestrial? Are they interdimensional? Are they black ops from the United States government? And if we answered those questions, we wouldn't be, you know, studying it so intensely still, you know?
It's interesting to think that, let's just say, for instance, orange orbs are some innate life form intelligence that originate from the Earth.
Right.
And let's just say, for instance, that there are nuts and bolts craft coming from elsewhere. There's no reason to think that if they were visiting here for whatever reason they are, got interest in humans or whatever, they have got every reason just to be just as interested in this other possible life form. So, I mean, it could be humans and beings from elsewhere, other dimensions or other planets, and we are both individually studying this strange plasma orange life form.
Yes, there's also a theory out there that they may be some sort of organic probe from aliens. A good example is in Earl Naval Weapons Station in New Jersey and several other places around the United States, where when we've pegged orange orb sightings in certain areas of, say, New Jersey, we found that there's large concentrations over military installations, but not any kind of military installation. You would think it would be an Air Force base, but it's not. It's usually weapons depots, ammunition factories, and nuclear testing sites where these objects are. So it seems that they are drawn for some reason to sites where weaponry is made. This makes you wonder if these things are just some sort of basic intelligent creatures or if they have some sort of purpose.
Now, what about the worldwide distribution? Do you have any information on about orange orbs elsewhere out with North America?
No, we've concentrated basically on the United States in this Project Orange that we're doing. But I can tell you that Canada, southern Canada, has a large concentration of orbs. On both sides of the border, Lake Erie and Lake Ontario are hotbeds. Ivan T. Sanderson, the cryptozoologist and ufologist in the 1960s and 70s, believed that orange orbs come from a base underneath Lake Erie. We did a study as part of Project Orange to see if when the lake freezes over, as Lake Erie does every couple of years, if orange orbs decrease. And in the spring, when there's algae blooms, when a lot of phosphorus is given off, we found that orange orbs increase in those areas. So, and phosphorus is in fireworks also, and there's an enormous amount of sightings. 67% of sightings on the 4th of July entail an orb and fireworks. Fireworks have phosphorus and strontium, which is a radioactive element. So we believe there's something drawing these orbs to fireworks and to algae blooms in Lake Erie. There's actually somebody who has a website devoted to Lake Ontario orb sightings. So it is a, and the American and Canadian Indians used to call them wizard lights around Lake Erie and Lake Ontario. So we know that there's a high percentage of sightings in Canada.
Is there much associated or reported high strange events along with sightings of orange orbs?
No. What's interesting is that orbs seem to avoid contact. It seems like they want to be seen, but they don't want to be studied and observed close up. And there's only like one or two stories that we're aware of where people actually lost time when viewing an orange orb. I met a girl 2 years ago who said that an orange orb came down and scanned her, and she felt that she was being violated. But stories about actual abduction are very rare. The one that really – oh, okay, you were going to say something?
I was just going to say, do we know the is there much of a range of sizes? Are there any decent sightings in which someone's been able to make a decent guesstimate of the kind of size these objects are?
Well, that's one of the weaknesses of the CMS reporting system in MUFON.
We've got Gene and Goggs. You're in
the podcast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Then call 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility.
Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.